ELC Radio.
Hey girls, Chris Kane here. I am so excited. Propel Activate is coming to a city near you this fall. I know that this is going to be a unique year. God is doing a new thing. God is doing a fresh thing. And I believe you are going to encounter Him in a fresh way. Don't miss out. Be in the room. Encounter the presence of God and change your world.
For more info and details, visit the Elevate Life Church Sacramento app.
Love God. Lift others.
Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Guys, ready for the word today? Praise God. Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles right now. We're going to start our final message in the series. So we've been talking about crooks, thieves, and thugs, okay? And we've been in this series for this is probably our fifth message in the series. And the whole motivation for speaking about this has been that we want to get you to understand that there's a life that you're supposed to have as a believer. And there has to be times in your life where you take inventory. Can I get an amen on that? Like, you got to start looking at your life and noticing what's working and what's not. As they say, you got to ask yourself, well, how's that working out for you? See, a lot of us want to blame things or people or experiences for the lives that we have. But really, the only person that you can blame is yourself. The only person you should blame is yourself. As my pastor always says, the life that you have is the life you built. Yeah, but pastor, I came from poverty. Okay, that's where you came from. But where are you now? Oh, pastor, man, when I was abused as a kid, man, I'm terribly sorry. But what are you going to do now? Well, you know, I'm this, I'm that. I understand all those things. I'm not saying we all start out on the same playing field. Because we all start out at different stages of life through different experiences. Life is not fair. But I do know this, wherever you are now, you can make a decision that could change your life forever. Amen? And so through my years in ministry, over 30 years now, preaching the gospel, not just in a little area of California, but all over the world, in big churches, small churches, all over, what I see is Christians that are not experiencing the abundant life. And it just bugs me. And the reason it bugs me is because, Jesus died on the cross for us to have better lives than we could ever dream of. John chapter 10, verse 10. It bugs me as a pastor sometimes because I can do all that I can do, feed you, give you the word, you know, have church, sacrifice, you know, my family and I sacrifice so that you can experience the abundant life, and then people still make choices not to experience the abundant life. And, you know, as somebody that loves you, I don't want to see that continue to happen anymore. So go on the podcast and listen to the previous messages. We talked about the thief of dishonor towards God. We talked about the thief of an unrenewed mind. If you don't change your thinking, your life can't change. We talked about the thief of fear, people that are bound by fear and anxiety and all those things. We talked about that last week. We talked about the thief of isolation. And how you and your family just being away from the body, not being a part of the church, not being a part of community, it's going to steal from your life. You're never going to get the abundant life that way because we are created to be in community. We're beings that have been created to be in community, so much so that the things that you need, God puts in other people around you. Look around the room right now. Whatever your need may be, somebody in this room can meet that need. But you'll never get that need met because you want to isolate. You want to come to church last. I mean, you want to be the last one here, first one out. You know, you don't want to connect with people. You don't want to come to Kingsmen where you can meet some other dudes that'll bring you up, take you from being a boy into a man. And that's exactly what you need. Some people would rather make excuses. Well, you know, I don't know how to be a man because I didn't have a dad. Well, come to Kingsmen. Plenty of fathers in there. Well, I just don't know how I'm going to do as a father. Come to Kingsmen. We'll take away those excuses. You won't have to walk around going, I don't know how to be a dad. We'll show you how to be a dad. Can I get a strong amen from my Kingsmen? Well, you know, I just didn't grow up seeing any strong males. Well, come to Kingsmen. We'll show you some. Then you can get rid of that excuse. Amen. Good morning, church. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, I never raised around anybody positive. Come to Propel. Well, I don't like being around women. And you're a woman. You don't like being around women, and you're a woman. Or woman. Help me with my grammar. Pray for me, please. That's crazy. No, that's literally crazy. And what you just revealed is you hate yourself. You hate yourself. See, the issues you have are in other people. And then God puts you in a community. So here's the fun part. So you can go meet people, and then boom, you make connections of people that can help you out of your misery. But if you just want to isolate, you think God brought you to church to hear preaching. That's what some of y'all think. Oh, I came to church. I'm trying to get the word. God's got more emphasis on you meeting people than you just getting a word. Well, I came to church so I could get my praise on. That's good. But you know what will really change your life? Possibly the person sitting next to you. Possibly joining the usher team where you get to meet a whole bunch of people that could really speak into your life and encourage you. Possibly join this, joining that. But isolation will keep you to yourself. Can I get a good strong amen on that? And this week, I could have gone on so many more thieves that steal from our lives and stuff. And there's so many more. My wife texted me this week. She said, what about the thief of not keeping the Sabbath? Did you know people not getting proper rest could steal from your life? How about the thief of compromise? The thief of compromise, where you're only a Christian on Sunday from 10 to 12. That's it, teenagers. Man, teenagers, you got to snap out of this. It's going to be crazy, you know, that you don't make it into heaven. And all the while, you had all the tools, but you was playing games. That's some sad stuff right there. That's what I pray over my kids, and I'm the pastor. And they're good kids. So you can imagine your kids. No, I'm just joking. But real talk. See, we've got to learn. There's so many thieves and things that steal from our lives. But the one I want to close out on is the thief of pride. The thief of pride. This thief here is a beast, okay? It's something that robs from everybody. And you want to know something that's interesting? We all got a little pride in us. Some of us more than others. And some of us are sitting here going right now, ooh, my tia needs to hear this. She's hecka proud. But we got to understand there's pride in you too. Tell your neighbor there's pride in you. Tell your other neighbor there's pride in me. Now, here's the problem with pride, okay? The problem with pride, we find it right here in the book of James. Go ahead, it's right there. Look on the screen real quick. It says adulterers and adulteresses. Adulterers and adulteresses. That word adultery means somebody that cheats on their wife. It also means somebody that has intercourse with somebody that is not their spouse. So some of us go, oh, cool, this one ain't for me. No, you know what else it speaks of? God in the Old Testament considered his people, when they went after other idols, adulterous. In the New Testament, in the book of Revelations, he calls Christians that love the world more than they love him, adulterers. Because the Bible says this, you and I are the bride of Christ. We're his spouse. I know that's kind of weird for the fellas. I still haven't wrapped my brain around that, other than the understanding of the concept that that's how close Jesus is with us. He's supposed to be everything to us. We're not supposed to have this side chick called the world. Now, I know in today's vernacular, in today's society, having a side piece is normal. It's normal for most folks, okay? It's accepted. It's even made its way into the vernacular of the day. When I say side piece, most of you know what I'm talking about. There's a few of us in here going, can I assist this side piece? Can I assist? Side piece is somebody that you have on the side that you have intercourse with, and then you go home to your wife. Can I just tell you something? For anybody that's doing that in here, that's straight evil. It's evil. It's wicked. God don't like that kind of thing. Read the Bible. He'll be straight up with you. You want to know why? Because God views your spouse as his daughter. Dads, what would you do to a guy that did your daughter like that? I'd be coming off the top rope. Come on, somebody. Figure four, leg lock. Come on. You're going to get it. You're going to get it. I don't know why I'm spending time on this. Somebody needs to hear this, though. So when the Word of God talks about adulterers and adulteresses, it is talking about the natural, but the prophetic understanding of it is this. That could be you and I, if you love the world more than you love God. And can we just be honest? Some of us in this room do. Come on, I ain't fooled by your Sunday attendance. And you shouldn't be either. Come on, you go to church every day and still go to hell. And as I always say, that's the dumbest way to go to hell. Isn't it? If you're going to go to hell anyway, go get drunk, go, you know, shoot up, sleep with all the people you want to sleep with, and go to hell. But if you're going to go to hell being in church every week, that's hecka dumb. Tell your neighbor, that's hecka dumb. Okay, so let's keep going. So he says adulterers and adulteresses. Let's look at it in that light. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Do you see the context now? He's not talking about cheaters. He's talking about Christians that put the world before God. And let's just be honest, some of us do. Tell your neighbor, some of us do. Some of us do. Let's just be honest. Let's just be honest in here. All right? Maybe you do. That's why you're here this morning, so God can bring you out of that cage. Not here to judge you, not here to put you down, not here to put shame on you. But God the Father is saying, son, daughter, come out of that thing. The world's not going to do anything for you. So he says this, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity against God? Basically what it means is this, you become the enemy of God when you love the world more than you love God. The enemy. Nobody here wants to be the enemy of God. The old timers used to say, don't box with God. Your arms are too short to box with God. He'll knock you out, amen? Okay, keep going. It says, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Can I just tell you as a pastor how many times I just hear people just making excuses for their lifestyle? Making excuses for why they stay in the club and they're believers. Well, pastor, you know, I ain't doing nothing wrong. You know, I wasn't doing anything in there. I'm just, you know, we're just having fun. Oh, pastor, you know, I was drinking, but I wasn't getting drunk. Well, pastor, you know, the herb comes from the ground. And when I... It's legal now, pastor. It's just, you know, it's to help my anxiety. Are you guys tracking with me? We make all these excuses for why we stay close, listen now, to the things that are anti-God. Halloween could be one, because I felt that in the room. Well, don't be talking about Halloween, Pastor. That's my favorite thing. I get it. Candy is good. Can I just tell you, when growing up, it was my favorite holiday, too. It's because I was chubby. Somebody saying, was? Hey, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Come on now. You know what I'm saying? So we get these idols in our life, and we put those before the Lord. The Bible says this, man, you're making yourself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy, but he gives more grace. Keep going. Keep going. There we go. Therefore, he says, God, here it is, resists the proud. He resists the proud. That word resist there is a scary word. That word resist there means he makes you of no effect. For God to resist something, we're talking about the God of the universe, your creator. He has the ability, and if he's resisting you, life ain't going to work for you. Yeah, but Pastor, I thought God is on my side, and we talk about how God is on your side, and, you know, he's for me, not against me, and if who could be for me, if God is for me, who could be against me? And we make all these decisions, but understand this, you got to come and do agreement with that word. And when you choose to elevate the world over your relationship with God, you just broke agreement. And according to what the Bible just said, you have now made yourself an enemy with God. Just made yourself an enemy with God. And now we're wondering why life is not changing. It's not changing because God can't get down with pride. It's the only thing you're going to find in the Bible where he says, I'm going to have to keep you at arm's length. In the words of Flava Flav, I can't do nothing for you, man. Y'all remember that song? Google it at the end. Amen. Praise God. Okay. So look at this. God resists the proud, but he gives grace. What? But he gives grace to the humble. The thing we know we all need, right, is grace. Grace is the only reason we're not all crispy critters up in here, where he would have just burned us up for all of our sins, for all the stuff we did wrong, all the dirt you was doing wrong, all them years, all them women you was burning, all them people you was jacking. Man, you don't deserve nothing. We deserve hell. Myself included. Guess what? I need grace. And so do you. And guess how I get grace? Humility. That's why in a service, the preacher gets up and he says this, if you want to accept Jesus Christ in your life, slip up your hand. If you want to receive Jesus Christ, come on down to the front so we could pray for you. You know what that is? That's an act of humility. And you know why some people, when I preach that, won't come forward? Pride. So guess what they walk out of here without? Grace. Pride will jack you up. Pride keeps you from getting help. Some of your marriages are just a wreck. It's a wreck. Y'all don't even like each other no more. Borderline hate each other. But you won't get help. Because you know what help is? Humility. It's humility. It's humbling to sit in front of a counselor and go, we're jacked up. We can't do this on our own. It's even more humbling to sit in front of a counselor and have them tell you what they think you need to do. It's even more humbling for you to do what they're telling you to do. That's why some people go to counseling and you're wasting your money. And it's $75 an hour, $100 an hour. Because you go to a counselor, but you don't do what they say. Wasting your money. Sew that into the building. Guys, that's pride. It's pride. Pride keeps you still. Pride keeps you in that place. It puts you in a place where God can't do nothing for you. He can't make what you do effective. So it's called resistance. So here you are trying to make a good life in pride. It ain't ever going to work. So for some of us, divorce is in your future. It's in your future. Oh, Pastor, don't be speaking that over me. I'm not speaking that over you. That's what you're choosing. when you decide to be in marriage in pride. Are you guys tracking with me today? So look at, therefore, here's the good part. Therefore, but God gives grace to the humble. Therefore, here it is, submit to God, period. Period. Oh, you want grace? Submit to God. Quit making excuses. Quit making excuses. Submit to God. Submit to God. Guys, it's very simple. Our brains make it hard. Our idols make it difficult. But your way out of the darkness, it's not through meds. Ooh, someone's going to email me about that right there. That's all right. It's not through meds. Did you know doctors will tell you meds can help you cope, but they don't fix the problem? So take your meds. Tell your neighbor to take his meds. Take them. Pastor's telling you, he's not against it. All I'm telling you is this. All I'm telling you is, hear my heart now. Hear my heart, okay? All I'm telling you is the way out of the darkness is submission to God. When my life was jacked up at 19 years old and my back was against the wall, the smartest thing I ever did was give up control and jump into his word and allow his word to tell me how to live. That's what I did. Went to church, heard the word, and then did the word. Read the scriptures that were hard. At the time, I was dating a girl who was not saved. Then I came up on 2 Corinthians chapter 6, unbelievers and believers do not mix. What I have to do? Whoa, wait a minute here. I got me a girlfriend that don't love God. Let me try to bring her to church. Brought her to church. How'd you like it, baby? It's all right. Okay, let me try this again next week. Okay, they're going to try it again. Praying that the pastor would just, he was blowing fire. Come on, pastor, you got to save my girlfriend. You got to get her here. We got to get, I want to keep this. Brought her to the church. So next week, he's giving the altar call. She's sitting there. Walked out of church. Oh, I was mad. Like, dang. Because I was mad because I had to make a decision. Am I going to submit to God? Or am I going to keep doing things in my pride my own way? You know what I did? Smartest thing I ever did. I submitted to God. I sat down, and to that time, I had the hardest conversation I ever had as a 19-year-old kid. Tears in my eyes. I told her, baby, we can't be together no more. And it seems like nothing now because I'm a grown man about it, amen? But at that time, that was everything. And I cried, and why can't, she's crying. I'm feeling like, oh, gosh, trying to explain. She don't understand the Bible. Went home, cried to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all in. Did you know from that decision, it was a year later. It was less than a year later. 6 months later, I started preaching the gospel. 6 months later, within a year, I was a youth pastor. Within 2 years, I was a senior pastor. You want to know why? Submission to God. I know cats that have a call, they still ain't in ministry because they won't do the hard stuff. They won't submit. They won't submit. A submission to God is the greatest place of humility. So how long are you going to keep walking around that mountain? How long are you going to keep playing footsies with the world? Y'all remember playing footsies? Anybody ever play footsies in high school? That fine girl sitting in front of you in that class. Come on, fellas. Get your foot down there. First time she looks back, like, and then you go like, hey. And then she's like, and she putting that foot back a little bit this time so you can get to it. Come on now. I know I wasn't the only one. Some of you are like, you were, Pastor. We don't do that. Playing footsies is this. It looks innocent, but it sends all the signals that you're interested. That's what we do with the world. And we want to see how close we can get to worldliness before we cross the line. Guys, that's a terrible thing to do. Submit yourself to God. And listen to this next part. Oh, this is so good. This will change your life and fix it if you get this. Submit to God. Here it is. Resist the devil. Don't invite him in your house. Don't give him a cup of tea. Some café con leche. Come on, don't do it. And here's the next part. And he will flee from you. He'll flee from you. You know what that means? He will leave your life. Some of us have been saved 10 years. Devil's still got a room in your house. We just keep him out. We let him. We open the door, let him come out and play. We try to put him back in that room. But guess what? He's got you deceived. He won't be a pet. It won't be long before he takes you over. You think nobody sees what you're doing online. You think nobody sees you're on them sites. And you know what? Maybe nobody will. And sometimes nobody will ever know what you've been doing on them websites. But God knows. As long as you're playing with this devil, as long as you're playing with that thing, it's going to take you over. But here's the key. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll leave you alone. He'll leave you alone. He'll leave your kids alone. He'll leave your marriage alone. He'll leave you alone. But here's the first thing. You got to submit. I got to tell you something. Submitting's hard. Something you love will probably have to leave your life. Something, not someone, but sometimes it is someone. For my case, it was someone when I was 19. But here's the cool thing about God. Whatever God asks you to give up, he gives you something better and greater, quality, quantity, and kind. Amen. And he sent me Tina. Yeah. He did. She looks way better than that girl did, too. I better say that, but that's not why I'm saying it. I'm saying it because it's true. Seriously, I jumped some levels. That was a cheat code right there. Give this one to God and God will give you another level. That's a word for somebody in here. But see, we won't do those things. And then when we live in the place we're at, we're wondering why things aren't working. Guys, it all comes down to pride. It all comes down to pride. Let's keep reading. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. He'll leave you alone. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Did y'all see that? Draw near to God, he draws near to you. It's not supposed to be this thing of, I can't hear God. It's not supposed to be this thing of, man, I've been waiting on God to tell me what to do. How are we going to? It's not supposed to be that. Draw near to God. And then anticipate he's going to draw near to you. But here's the thing. We want God to draw near to us, and then we'll draw near to God. So we do stuff like this. Well, God, if it's raining tomorrow, I'll go to church, because then I'll know it's you. Come on now. Quit putting all that on God. Let me give you a key. You want more of God, draw near to him, he draws near to you. That's it. That's it. But here's the key. You got to go first. You got to go first. Keep going. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Here's the key. And he will lift you up. Humility brings elevation. Tweet that. Put that out there, because that's what we need to be understanding. Humility brings elevation. How many here want to get elevated? What is elevation? It's going new levels. It's time you go to new levels in your life. It's time we get higher in the Lord. It's time we start seeing some of these blessings on our life. Amen? Amen. So what we don't want to do is we don't want God to resist us. Let me give you some other scriptures right here on pride. Go ahead and put those on the screen. Proverbs 16:18. Go ahead and put that up. Look what this says right here about pride. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. When you're in pride, it's only a matter of time. Your life's coming down. But can I just tell you, the biggest problem we have right now is we don't understand what pride is. Do you have that definition of pride there, guys? I put it in my notes if you could put that on the screen. See, in the world has a different definition of pride. That's why some of us don't think we have it, okay? The world's definition of pride is somebody that is arrogant or thinks more of themselves than they should. That's what the world says is pride. Do you have that back there, Em? Okay, I put it in my notes. So let me read to you what the Bible's definition of pride is. In the Bible, pride does not mean simple arrogance. Instead, it means hubris, preferring self-will over God's will. It's the polar opposite of following God. Biblical pride is overcome when we say yes to Jesus. I'll give you an example of this. Remember when Jesus prayed in the garden, "Not my will, but yours be done"? That's the greatest act of humility. Giving over control to God. And that's the thing some of us have the hardest time doing. Okay? So as I'm talking about pride, some of you go, "Oh yeah, this isn't for me. This is for my cousin. You know, he thinks he's all bad with his truck and everything. You know, he thinks he's all bad since he got out of jail. You know, he's over there, got that job. Yeah, he needs to hear this pride." No, pride is simply elevating your will above God's. Now, when you understand that, now we can understand why we all got to be careful, including myself, right? So go ahead and put that, okay, up here. Pride goes before destruction. Go to the next one. Proverbs 13:10, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. With pride comes nothing but strife. Some of us were raised in homes where all there was strife. Moms and dads fighting all the time. Brothers and sisters fighting all the time. Tios and tias fighting all the time. The big question is, where are we having Christmas? The big question was, where are we having Christmas? Because you didn't know which tia was supposed to be at and if you were allowed to go over there or not. So if it was at your one tia's house and your tia and your mom were beefing, y'all sat out Christmas. Well, it's getting real up in here. You know, we have all this strife. You know what where strife comes from? Pride. That's why you always got to look at in a marriage when there's strife, look at your own pride. Go to the next one. Proverbs 16:5. Exalting yourself is disgusting to the Lord. For pride attracts, his punishment. And you can count on that. That's the Passion Translation. Pride invites punishment. It invites it. Again, guys, this is something we all got to do a heart check on. We all got to make sure that we're walking in humility, which is this, total dependence on God. Okay, so let me give you now some characteristics of pride, okay? Because some of us are still going to walk out of here thinking I ain't talking to you. And I am talking to you. Man, I'm talking to myself as I hold this mic. Because you never want to get too comfortable with your flesh and think you're all that. So how do we keep ourselves from walking in pride? We got to be aware of the characteristics of pride. Because here's one of the dangers of pride. When you're in pride, you can't see it. You think you're humble. So let me give you some things. If these things are in your life, you got pride. And I don't want pride because God resists the proud. Right? So look at this. Number one, first characteristic of pride, prayerlessness. Tell your neighbor, ouch. Why do you think since you was a little kid, you've been hearing the preacher say, do your devotionals? Why do you think ever since you came to this church, you hear the D word, do your devotionals? And you're going to keep hearing that. Why? Because it's the place where you humble yourself before God. Sitting down, laying down, whatever you need to do, taking a walk. When you open up your life to prayer, you're basically humbling your soul. And this is why most Christians don't do it. We're full of pride. Full of pride. So one of the main goals you should have every day is to just to cut out a little bit of time for you to bow your knees, bow your head, whatever you got to do, and just pray. Psalms 10:4 says this, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. Could this be why we can't get some of you to church regularly? No, Pastor, it's this, it's that. Could it just be your heart's wicked? Could it just be you ain't got this thing yet? And that's okay.
The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. Pastor, I'm here every Sunday. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. Pastor, I'm on the worship team. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. I'm just reading scripture to you. See, we got all these other measuring sticks. Oh, no, no, I can't be proud because I do this, I do this, I do this. Listen, the only measuring stick that matters is what's in his word. His word cannot lie. It's truth. And as they say, sometimes, y'all, the truth hurts. It hurts. So here's what you do. When the truth cuts you, because remember, the Bible says the word of God is a two-edged sword. It's cutting. When it cuts you, don't get mad, just repent. And you find grace. Prayerlessness. It's a sign of pride. It's not because, well, Pastor, I just ain't got no time. That's an excuse. Because check your screen time on your phone. How many hours this week? What? How much time? What? Time's out of the equation. That's not that. It's a heart thing. It's a discipline thing. Amen? So here's what we need to do. Cut out some time every day to just pray because it humbles you. What do we find when we humble ourselves? Only two people got that. What do we find when we humble ourselves?
Grace.
Grace. Let's keep going. Number two characteristic of pride. Number two, someone's divisive. 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 That's how you know you're in pride. What does that mean? You're a gossiper and you're opinionated. It takes nerve to gossip about somebody. You think you're better than them. And you just prove you're not. Look what the scriptures say in Romans 12, 16. Live happily together in a spirit of harmony and be as mindful of another's worth as you are about your own. Don't live with a lofty mindset thinking you're too important to serve others, but be willing to do menial tasks and identify with those who are humble-minded. Don't be smug or even think for a moment that you know it all. Divisive. Quit causing division. I like to chase gossipers out of our church because in most churches, gossip rules, it lives, and I'm not going to let it happen here. We're not going to let that happen here. It's destructive. It's anti-Christ. Yeah. So when you're going to talk about somebody, don't do it around me. And they shouldn't do it around you. Because right. If you're around gossip and do nothing about it, you're a part of it. Right. And if you're a part of it, you got pride. And if you got pride, get ready for some resistance from heaven. God, we got to despise gossip. Now, wait, sometimes it creeps in. It creeps in. Let me tell you two reasons why. Number one, your flesh loves it. It loves it. Oh, no, no, I don't like gossip. No, you like it. You like it. Or I'll say it like this. You liked it. Everybody, the flesh likes it. You want to know why? Because the reason the flesh likes gossip is because then we can feel better about ourselves. You do got to get yourself to a place where you hate it. Amen. And it can. You can. Because I hate gossip. Doesn't mean the devil don't try to get me in it sometimes. And when he does, man, you just repent. You come out of that thing. Why? Because it's an attribute of pride. Don't be divisive. Keep your opinion to yourself sometimes. Come on, somebody. Amen? Amen. Keep your opinion. Don't need to know all your stuff. Get on Facebook and just airing out your stuff. Guys. If you can't say it in person, don't say it in Facebook. I'm tired of these chicken people. They'll say everything on Facebook, but you stand in front of them, they ain't gonna tell you nothing because they'll get punched in the face. It's true. People are so bold online, they'll say stuff they'd never say in front of somebody. Don't be that person. Tell your neighbor, don't be that person. Wake the person up next to you too. Go ahead, just elbow them a little bit. Wake them up. All right. Because that person sleeping needs to hear this. Go to the next one. Number three, another attribute of pride. Y'all ready for this? Selfishness. It's all about you, isn't it? It's all about you, isn't it? That's right. This goes with the other one. The reason people are opinionated because they don't like something, and they think because they don't like it, nobody else should like it. Well, it's not about you. That's kind of our motto on our missions trips, and it should be a motto in life. It's not about you. So I tell our people on mission trips, don't come over to me talking about it's hot. It's not about you. These people live like this. You're over here crying. Pastor, I'm having a hard time sleeping. Don't come with me with that. It's not about you. These people living in these conditions, right? But what would happen if you took that on? It's not about you. Guess what would happen? You'd be more likable. You'd be more likable, okay? Let me read you Romans 12:3. I'm almost done. God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of your importance. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as the standard of measurement. And then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. That's also in the Passion Translation. And what that basically says is you can't be selfish. It's not about you. So in life, you're going to be in a lot of situations that you don't like. It's okay. Married people know what I'm talking about. Amen? Fellas, you ever seen a movie your wife wanted to see and you didn't? Just tell yourself, it's not about me. Yeah, or vice versa. You drag, you all excited about the next Star Wars movie. Like you all excited. Your wife's like, yeah, babe. Yeah, I'm counting the days too. But she knows this. It's not about me. Right? Or y'all didn't know this? This is going to save somebody's marriage right here. You ever go to your wife's family's outing? He caught me. It's not about you. It's about her. So you may have all these thoughts. Man, I hate going over here. Dang, these people are crazy. They're crazy. But it's not about me. It's about her. Amen? I wish this pastor would hurry up and finish this preaching right now. Tell your neighbor, it's not about you. Because somebody needs to hear this. But I will keep going. Number four, hard-hearted. If you have this in your life, there's pride. Daniel chapter 5, 20 through 21. He said this, talking about Nebuchadnezzar. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne. You could put your own name on that if you want. But when my heart is lifted up, my spirit is hardened with pride, I leave my place from my kingly throne. That's how the devil can beat you up. He gets you, keep you from being a queen and a king. And I know the culture loves to call people kings and queens right now, right? You get on Facebook, you get on the gram, everybody talking about, where are my kings at? They got them little emojis, queen. They ain't kings and kings. If you don't know the King of Kings, you ain't a king. Beyond that, if you ain't following the King of Kings, you ain't a king. And you're definitely not a queen acting like that. Showing your booty. Okay, let me keep going. But he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And then when he was driven from the sons of men, his heart was made like, here it is, the beasts. Are you guys catching this? So you're supposed to be in a kingly throne. Your pride knocks you out of those heavenly places. And now you're just like a beast ruled by your desires. That's all you care about. What you can eat, drink, smoke with, sleep, or drive, or wear. That's a beast. That's an animal. That's why they call some men, not all men, some men, dogs. They're out there. Quit sleeping with them. Quit hanging with them. Quit playing footsies with them. They're out there. But what makes a kingsman different than a dog is we stay in our kingly position by staying humble. By staying humble. If I stay clothed in humility, my sex drive will never overtake me. Are y'all catching that? Which is what we're getting into in Kingsmen on this Friday. We got a whole curriculum of every man's battle. how to overcome sex in an over-sexualized culture. You better get your man there. Man, you better get there. Amen. Send your mijo, moms. Send a little mijito. If he's in high school, he could come. Because he needs to learn. No, I'm just going to stop right there. I'll save it for when we go. All right, so a hard heart, okay? A hard heart is found with pride, all right? Pride will harden your heart. It'll cause you to be hard. Here it is, towards the things of God. Toward the things of God. That's why you come to church and you just ain't feeling it. You don't worship me. I don't really like that song. Dude, it's not about the song. That's to help. Well, I just, you know, it went too long. Man, your heart is hard. You're missing the point. You got to keep your heart soft. So keep it free from pride. Last one, number five. You have a hard time expressing love. This is a big one in today's society right now. It's a big one. We have a hard time expressing love. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Another word for puffed up is proud. Some of us were raised by parents who had a hard time expressing love. And they told you it was because, well, mijo, my dad didn't show me love. And they may have believed that. But you know what the scriptures tell me? The scriptures tell me it was their hard heart that comes from pride. This is why, guys, if you're raised in Latino culture, we got to break some stuff. We got to break some stuff because there's so much pride in Latino culture that doesn't let a man be a real man. You don't repeat that. Don't keep that going. So we have Latino men that never express love to their kids, and they pass it on to the next generation going, mijo, my dad never did that for me. So? That's what the Bible's there for. So you get your eyes off your dad and put it on God. How long are we going to make that an excuse? The Bible tells you it's not that. What makes you, what keeps you from expressing love is a hard heart. So now we're in the age and we're in a culture and we're in a generation of trauma. Okay? Trauma is something that is a hot word, but not only is it a hot word, it's a legitimate crisis in America that we deal with trauma. We've been dealt with trauma. If you've been abused sexually, mentally, physically, you have something that's been done to you called trauma. It's traumatic pain. And some of the characteristics of somebody that experienced trauma is they have a hard time seeing good in life. And when you can't see good in life, you can't appreciate life. And when you can't appreciate life, you can't appreciate the people you do life with. And so you get in relationships where you can't express how you feel about somebody. Are you tracking with me? So we got men that got good women, but you just can't seem to express it to her. You better learn. Tell your neighbor, you better learn. Man, we got to do our homework. It ain't going to fly. Well, you know, I just never had that growing up. But you got the word of God. And if you humble yourself, he'll change your heart. This generation right now doesn't know how to express gratitude. Bugs me when my kids don't express gratitude. Bugs me when your kids don't express gratitude. Bugs me when you don't. No, I'm just joking. It's a thing. You want to know why? Hard-heartedness. Hard-heartedness. I remember I thought I was being all nice to somebody at a Starbucks, and they were in front of me. I was just got done praying. I was all happy, you know, and they got their drink. It was a dude, too. It wasn't a girl to make her all uncomfortable. But I said, hey, man, let me get your drink. Let me pay for that. Came in all happy. You ever been in prayer where you just come out all happy? Hey, man, let me get that for you. Bam, bam, bam. Pay for that. Cool, man, thanks. I was like, really? Because if somebody would have did that for me, it would have been all pounds. Maybe give him a hug. Thank you, ma'am. A little something. But you know what? Some of us can't express nothing. You ever hook somebody up, like hook them up?
And they just like, thanks, man.
Sometimes it's a hard heart. Hard hearts can't express love. They can't express love. So we've got to do work. But what is the work? Just spend time with God. Man, you got a good husband. And you tell everybody else how good he is, but you don't tell him. You want to know why? Because you have a hard time expressing love. Man, you got a good wife. You got a wife other dudes trying to get at. And they about to get her too if you don't change. It don't fly anymore. Get rid of these excuses. Well, I just ain't like that. Well, you better get like that. Well, you know, I just didn't grow up with nobody hugging me and stuff, so I don't know. Change. I just don't like people touching me. Don't get married. Don't have kids, because they'd be all touching you 24/7. My kids still come in to touch my wife. She can't watch TV. Moms, you know what I'm talking about. Right? Guys, the condition you're in can change right now. Ladies, the condition you're in can change. But you got to allow God to get in your heart. You got to let God change you. And here's how he's going to do it: through humility.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store. And you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.